We're going to hear from Sarah and some of our family who went to New Wine. And then we're going to hear from Simon and Andy about talking about Jesus in our lives. So over to you, Sarah.
I was just really struck, actually, as the readings were being given, that little bit in Hosea. And I just felt like for us this morning, where we are, that was so... And, you know, and if God says this to Hosea in the midst of the disobedience that's going on, how much more, you know, it's just the same for us. And that bit about, I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infant to their cheeks. I bent down to them and fed them. And I just felt that's how God will hold us in this moment. I just felt that was a real sort of word to it. Let me just read it again. I led them with cords of human kindness, with bands of love. I was to them like those who lift infants to their cheeks. I bend down to them and feed them. Okay, so we have been at New Wine in the wind, in the rain, in the mud, in the sun.
Hallelujah.
You name it, we've experienced it this week. And it's been great because it was the five of us. My son Sam went as well, and it's been lovely because we just spent a lot of time together. We've ate together. We've chatted together, and it's been a real sense of actually we are family together, and we're family here today. And I think what struck me is for all of us, we've gone through good times, we've gone through some difficult times, and as I sort of come away, I've just found actually God is so good in the pain and the struggle and the difficulty and in the joy. The fact that God is with us and has spoken to us. Now, what I've just sort of asked people to do is really to say a highlight. One thing maybe they felt God say to them, if they'd like to share that. Or is there anything that from New Wine that we feel that God is saying to us as a group of people together here, as his people here? I don't know who wants to go first. Does anybody?
Well, I'll go first.
Go for
it. We haven't really stuck to your rules.
Okay, that's fine. They never listen to us anyway, do they?
Never mind.
That's fine.
Never mind. Yeah, it was good to be there together because I just, as you said that, I was thinking, well, actually, I went to one seminar kind of on behalf of Sam because we were interested in the title, which is, you know, can you be good without God? And I thought, well, and he was interested in that, so I said, well, I'll go and I'll tell you what it was about. But it was a bit complicated to explain in a way, but never mind. Come and talk to me afterwards if you want to know a bit more about that. Anyway, that wasn't what I was going to say. Well, the two things that came to mind, that just to say in a few moments, there's a lot that goes on in New Wine, really, and for me, it was a really good week, so that's a helpful thing. But the two things were, one, I really really felt the presence of God in the worship, certainly at the beginning of the week. And that's good, because although it's not just about our feelings, that's not a good way to go, but nonetheless, it's good and it's right that we do sense in our bodies, because that's what God has given us, the presence of God, and we can do that. And that was really, really wonderful to do that in the worship, because the worship, and that leads us into God's presence, and we get to know Jesus better through that. So that was my experience in the week, which was great. And I've already forgotten the other thing I was going to say now. It's coming now. Yeah, just the Bible teachings in the morning were by Jordan Seng, who is he's American, but he lives in Hawaii. It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it. But I thought he was very, very good. But without going into the details, I think one thing he said was, it's a good time for us to be alive, because if you look at the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit just came on people for a moment or for a particular purpose at a particular time. It only came, mostly the prophets, so we read in the Old Testament is about where God came and spoke to somebody and they prophesied or whatever. So it was just occasions when the Holy Spirit fell on people. But since Jesus came and since the Holy Spirit came, we all have access to God. Whoever we are, we don't have to be holy prophets and priests. We can all have access to God now, which is absolute, and he said that is a great privilege, so it's a great time for us to be alive. Yes, we are in the last days. Yes, Jesus is coming again. All of that is true, but actually we do have access to the living God, all of us, whoever we are, whatever our background, we can all access God, and he can bless each one of us so that we can share that blessing with others. That's what I took away from that. That's me.
Well, what's really struck me this week was a reading from Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. Forget the former things, I'm doing something new. I asked God what he wanted to show me this week. And I have a very hard time with self-image. And I felt the Holy Spirit grieving that I don't like the way I look. And God wants to give me a new voice, and God wanted me from the womb, and has set me apart, giving me a voice to share my own story and to tell women how beautiful they are.
It's been a real pleasure to be with these folk, and particularly to hear Laura when she's been coming back excited about what God has been doing in her life. That's been a real pleasure for me, but that's not what I wanted to say particularly. I want to say we hadn't been to New Wine for about 6 or 7 years. I haven't worked out exactly how long it was. But the thing that struck me this week was that how much I've missed it. And that what I've missed is, yes, I've missed the teaching, but I've just missed that sense of encouragement into the presence of God in a way that New Wine has a particular characteristic. And I think that's what it is. It's about delighting in being with God. And I'd also say that in terms of the sort of sense of what Dave has said and what Laura has said, there was a lot about our humanity and a lot about being natural but also supernatural. And I think I felt quite dry when I went for this week. And I think I was dry because I was, you know, we come along on a Sunday and we do the things that, you know, I've been doing the things that I think are the right things to do as a Christian. But actually I've been getting a bit bored with prayer, dare I say it, and a bit bored with certain things. And I've felt a bit kind of like, well, you know, okay, God, well, how do I, you know, there's a sort of, how do we keep ourselves going? And we just heard how Anne ran the race so well. I want to run like that. But there are times and seasons where it seems really like it isn't like that. And so being there this week has been a refreshment and a reminder of just how good God is. That there is no baby Holy Spirit. We don't ever have half of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us who've loved Jesus has received his Holy Spirit in full. He is one of the three persons of God. We can't have part of him. We either have the Holy Spirit or we don't. And the Holy Spirit wants to come in full in relationship to us, just as Jesus wants to come in relationship with us and the Father. And it's not that one is more important than the other, but often we do that in our own lives. I think we can concentrate on one part of God or one person of God rather than another. And being there was a sense of being complete, because we were thinking about the Father's love for us, Jesus who died on the cross for us, and there was the most amazing, this is a distraction and a sideline, but there was the most amazing time of having communion. I'd been gone to the loo, I came back and I found they were just about to have communion, and within a moment I was weeping, because the woman, they had chosen a black woman to officiate over this, over New Wine, the only time they led communion in the big arena, and that to me was really important. So anyway, that's a sideline. But yes, just the sense that God, and the other thing I wanted to say was, personally, God released me from deep pain that I'd carried for some years, and that was major for me. So I've received healing. But I also was thinking about, what does God want me to say to all of us here present? And I felt that it's about, you know, We are community. And all that was being said about the time, and the now, the issues of the nation, the situation that we face as Christians in the nation, the difficulty of standing up for Christ when people don't really want to know. There were on several seminars, people were talking about post-truth, which was a different phrase. I've not heard that much before, and it's something we need to grapple with. But it's a tough time in some ways. As much as it's good, it's a tough time to be a Christian. And we need to support one another even more. And so I was thinking, as a community, as St. Augustine's here, as this church, we need more of the Holy Spirit. We need more to empower us for our day-to-day life. So do be hungry for God. That's what I'd say. Stir up some hunger for God.
So I'm going to cheat and say one more thing. Do you want to say something?
No, you can cheat. Oh, okay. Cheat away.
Right. It's just come back to me that we had one moment where we were asked to just be quiet and for a moment ask God to speak to us about what he wanted us to do. And I could only get two words from this, and I think probably this is a word for us as a church, really. And that was seek him. Seek him. I thought, come on, there's nothing, you know, say something else, you know. It's all very well, but say something else. But actually, that's the basis, seek him. And then just after that, the verse he put up was Matthew 6:33, which is seek first the kingdom of God. I thought, okay, I get it, Lord. Seek him.
I'll let you hold on, so I don't make a ringing noise.
At the same time, as Dave received that sense about seek him, I felt God say, listen to me. So maybe that's also a word. We can't just seek, we also need to listen. And all the way through, woven through everything that happened this week, was that sense of God wanting to converse with us, that we need to take time to listen to him and not just speak and pray and tell him everything that we feel and thinks wrong or we want, but we need to sit and listen as well to what he wants for us. So that's, yeah, we're a team. And also that we need one another. That was very strong.
Friendship came across very strongly, didn't it?
No one person has it all, but we need to work with one another because we all have different gifts. Yeah.
Yes,
And I would like to say that if any of you would like us to pray with you afterwards, we would love to bless you with the blessing we've received this week. So,
great. Yeah. Form an orderly queue.
Yeah, or a disorderly one. One of the things that they were saying about, you know, listening to Jesus and walking with him, seeking him, you very often go to these talks and, you know, you get the sort of 7 keys to live a successful and powerful Christian life. And what we heard was, ditch all of that. What we heard was there is no formula for healing. There is no formula for when and how you're filled with the Spirit and all of this. There's no formula to it. It's about walking closely with Jesus and listening to Jesus and being obedient to him. And that was great, because you often just hear, oh, and it almost seems impossible. I've got to do these great keys to be able to unlock this, that and the other. No, we just come to Jesus. Jesus comes to us and we walk humbly with him, listening to him, walking alongside him. And that was amazing. One of the things you were saying about when you were filled with the Spirit, you guys don't know this. In the car on the way home, my son Sam is 10, and he'd been in what was called Boulder Gang, was his group, and had a great time. And when we were in the car going home, he said to me, oh, I got, they prayed for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And he said, you know, my legs went all funny, and I sort of got I've got these funny feeling in my legs when they prayed for me to be filled with the Spirit. And he'd done the journal. I'd not seen the journal all week. And yesterday he said to me, you can read my journal if you like. And I sat down with a cup of tea and I read through, and it's, what's the highlight of the week? And he put, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And that was just, you know, see, you never quite not know what goes on, but that was just such a blessing to read that, and how actually God had really touched him and impacted his life as well. Great. Do you want to pray for us briefly?
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Father, I want to thank you for all the good, well, not just the good things, but all that you give us, that you are with us always. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are three in one. And we praise you today. We praise you today, whatever we feel like. And we thank you that you are with us. And I ask now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would move amongst us through the rest of our time together, that you would speak to each one of us in our hearts, in our spirits, that we may be refreshed by you, that you would give us a fresh revelation of who you are. And Father, I pray that you would grow us even more together as a community here at St. Augustine's, in this parish, in this church, that we may be more powerful witness to you. And Father, if there's anyone that doesn't yet know you, Jesus, I pray that they may be bold enough to say so and to come to one of us. So bless each one of us this morning. In your name I pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
I just wanted to add something to that. Because we're thinking about Anne today. And Anne was chatty with God. She used to chat to him. She used to chat about him. She used to hear from him when she did shut up. But I've been through times when I haven't heard from God. I've been through times when I felt too overwhelmed, sad, angry, lonely, lost. And if you are not feeling it at the moment with God, if you are not hearing from God, there's no condemnation in that. There isn't something wrong with you, and God still loves you, and so do we. And if you're unable to hear from God or even believe in him at the moment, share it with your family here, and those of us that have got a lot of belief will lend you some of ours. I just wanted to say that as well, because I think it's important. Going back to Anne talking about Jesus a lot, and she did it when she went to the hospital getting a dialysis, and when she was going out and about. And we had a nice visitor come to us, Andy, to talk to us about how to talk about God a bit more naturally, with a bit less trepidation, and to talk about what Jesus means to us personally and in our life, rather than talking about going to church and the institution and being a good little Christian. So I'm going to invite Simon Cartwright and his friend Andy to come and have a chat and talk about it. I can't remember your surname, sorry, Andy.
Right, I've definitely called Simon Cartwright in this church for ages. It's good to see you this morning. And this is Andy. Andy and I have known each other for about 15 years. Andy and I had the good fortune, or misfortune, whichever you want to put it, of training to be vicars together. We sat together in Nottingham, just down the road, and trained for ministry. And what really struck me about Andy is Andy's the sort of person who Jesus just shines through. Not because he just looks like Jesus. But
my hair a bit longer.
Yeah. But Andy is so passionate about Jesus and just lets Jesus speak through him, and he just couldn't stop talking about him all the way through college. He went out of college and spoke to people in the pub, in the street, about Jesus. He didn't just get stuck into the books, he just lived the walk. And Andy, I know you've had many challenges through the last few years, but just tell us a bit about your own personal story.
Yeah, as you heard, I am... trained with Simon, and in fact I think probably copying over Simon's shoulder probably is what got me through my degree, so probably I owe quite a lot to Simon. I did my curacy in a place called Salisbury, and then I became a vicar, a pioneer minister, in a place called Kingswood, which is on the outskirts of Bristol. It's famous for where John Wesley did his first open air sermon to the miners of Kingswood. I'm married to Elena, and we have a little girl called Hope. She's 8 and she's very cool. Anyway, we were in Kingswood for about 8 years, and we came to the point where we're feeling like it feels right to move on. You know, that sort of sense where you feel like, you know, you've seen God move, you've seen stuff you wanted to see happen, but you feel like there's a calling to something else, something different. And we looked at a few jobs, and nothing quite felt right for us. And yeah, in the end, we took the we got a little bit of inheritance as well. And my wife wanted to move back to Poole to be nearer her family. In fact, sadly, her mum passed away not too long ago, and her dad's quite ill. So it felt like that was the right thing to do. And I was like, well, God, what are you doing? What are you saying? Which is a bit like what you're saying. Why am I? So we went back to Poole. I didn't have a job to go to. Was just having this point of saying, what now, God? What are you calling me to do? And moved back to it. I became a schools worker, did assemblies and RE lessons and that sort of stuff. And we also started a bit of a new monastic thing as well, which you might hear a bit more about later on. But the other thing that sort of really resonated with us was this thing about the school of mission. And because what I realise is that lots and lots of Christians really want to share their faith, love Jesus, but actually quite scared, quite nervous, don't really know quite what to say. And yeah, sort of thinking, well, how can we just help one another in this a little bit? And so a few of us got together and we formed what's called the School of Mission, which sounds a bit grander than it actually is, really. It's just a few of us trying to encourage one another and to do stuff. And our motto is, for the School of Mission, is to encourage every Christian in the UK to feel confident and comfortable in talking about Jesus through deed and word, with wisdom, sensitivity, and under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. That's our big mission. That's our big call. And we started that a few months ago in Bristol. And as part of the challenge, we decided to do a bit of a listening exercise, going from Cornwall to Carlisle, and just meeting people like Simon and people who are doing stuff locally, hearing projects, just meeting and finding out what God's doing a little bit in the UK, and just working out how we can bless each other, how we can learn from each other, and hopefully as we continue to explore what we can do to help one another to live out our Christian life and to be, sounds like, I never met Anne, but sounds like she was a real example of that, running the race well and sharing her faith naturally wherever she went in those conversations. So that sounds amazing. So I think I probably went off the topic a little bit. I'll pass the microphone back.
It's always good to pass the microphone back. Andy, I've said to these guys a few times in the last few weeks that when we talk to people about what we want to do on a Sunday, we talk about church. So I went to church on Sunday and I did this at church on Sunday. And why don't you come to church on Sunday? And our church is doing this and our church is doing that. And somehow along the line, we're still scared. It's sort of screwed up in our stomachs that we dared mention the word Jesus because somebody might go wrong. And it's almost as if it's much more comfortable to talk about coming to church than it is about actually I've got a friend called Jesus. And can you just share a bit more about how that sort of personally changed you?
I think that's a great question. In my last parish, my role was to do sort of the mission and outreach. And people used to talk a lot about bringing people into church. And we tried to change the language so actually it's not about being in church. It's actually the important bit is about being in Christ, which is actually a very big difference. But I think often as we as Christians feel more comfortable talking about church than Jesus. And I used to be a street pastor, in fact I still am now in Poole. And one of the things I learned is that we often used to offer to pray for people. And I used to do that whole thing where I used to feel like, oh, this is a bit awkward. And, you know, you'd say something like, you know, because everyone thinks if you do sort of missiony stuff that you're mega confident and always have a word for everything. The truth is most of us feel scared sometimes and feel a bit awkward sometimes. That's just being human, I think. But, you know, I used to offer to pray for people. And I realised after a little while of doing it that actually most of the baggage was my baggage. Do you mean actually ordinary people were quite up for talking about Jesus? People quite up for being asked to pray for them. You know, it was actually okay. Most of my issues were internal, not to do with them. I was projecting stuff onto them. And I think sometimes we have a narrative of failure where we say, no one's interested, I can't do it, it's not going to work. You know, do you mean we have that narrative? And actually that's not true. Actually, as Christians, we believe that God is already at work in his world, that God is mighty, and that God wants to work in partnership with us. So we have an emphasis on wisdom and sensitivity as part of our idea, but actually take the risk. You know, sort of mention the word Jesus. Actually, it's surprising, actually, people are more open than we think they are. A great phrase someone said is, don't say someone's no for them. So, you know, often we think, oh, they won't be interested, so he won't say anything. It's step out. And even if you get it wrong, God's gracious, and most of the time, people are gracious too, actually. If you say, oh, sorry if I overstepped the mark a bit there or whatever. Often, if you just step out, we realise that God is faithful and God is good.
Andy and I have been praying together on and off for this 15 years. We regularly meet together to pray. And I know Andy's a great man of prayer. Andy spent about 48 hours in our parish. We spent a lot of time talking together about some of the issues in our parish. We've actually walked around and prayer walked quite a lot of our parish. You've met some guys yesterday at St. Tom's Community and from Gathering Place. And you've met some folks today, and obviously you've felt the emotion of today. Is there anything that you particularly struck you, anything that you want to encourage us with that you think you would go away praying for us as a parish?
Really good question, really. One of the things I spotted even yesterday before we knew what had happened, that actually you guys seem to do family well, or at least you seem to look trying to gather as people. And actually the great thing is, although you know you've clearly got some great clergy here, actually it's about ordinary Christians doing their stuff. You know, so often it's all about, oh no, that's the vicar's job. No, actually, it's all of our jobs. It's all of our jobs to make Jesus known. That's that story of Anne talking to people at the dialysis machine. We can all talk about Jesus where we go. We can all offer to pray for people. We can all do that little bit wherever we are and wherever we go. So that idea of actually we're all in it together feels like quite a strong thing here. And also the other thing I'd like to say is the word hope. I'm quite into the word hope, really. It's what we called our little girl. But actually, you know, sort of wandering around some of the places here where we were praying for, saying actually I believe in a God of hope, a God of resurrection, a God of restoration. And actually as we pray, one of the things that inspired me as I pray with Simon and other people is that God is not finished with this place yet. I believe that God's got great things still to come for this area and longs to, you know, I think he is at work, but I also believe that there's greater things yet to come too. And that's not going to be just supernaturally dropped in like some sort of, I don't know, lottery finger, but actually it's happening through you guys faithfully doing your stuff week in, week out, talking to people, blessing people, loving people, praying for the community.
Great, thanks. If you do get a chance afterwards, I know we all want to talk with the family, but if you want to chat to Andy about anything he said, he'll be available to chat afterwards, and we'll pray for you if you want to. And back up to Louisa.
Well, I'd like to say thank you to everybody that's spoken to us about their experience at New Wine or about talking with God. Perhaps we could give them a round of applause. It's very encouraging. Thank you very much.